Let's turn together to 1 Kings chapter 18 tonight. We're continuing in our series on great deliverances, and we're moving to a passage here in 1 Kings. It's one of my favorite passages to read, and I want to read the first 16 verses of chapter 18 and share some thoughts with you tonight on how God sometimes uses individuals in high places. He embeds them there. They don't fully understand or know at the time why they're there, how God is using them. We rarely do. It's usually years down the road that we begin to understand and know, that's why God had me there. That's why the Lord undertook in that particular situation. So I want to begin reading at verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 18. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. In other words, he was chief of staff. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread, and notice it says, and water. He took care of them, shielded them from his king, his master, his Lord, shielded them, fed them, and watered them in a time where food and water was scarce. He took it on as a personal ministry. I never have understood, and I'll just say this, I don't mean any disrespect to Scofield, but if you have a Scofield Bible, it says, a believer out of touch with God. And I scratched that off several years ago because that was an opinion that I just do not agree with. The Bible three times says that Obadiah was a man that feared God greatly. And for another person to come down the road 2,000-3,000 years down the road later and said, a believer out of touch with God, I just don't agree with that. So be careful with any Bible study book that you understand that these are human beings that have put that together. Their comments and so forth are opinions that may or may not be true. So you have to be a discerning Christian and make sure that you don't just swallow everything that comes down the pike. Verse 5, And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now here you have the two top men in the country out looking for what? They're looking for water and they're looking for grass. Now, that's how desperate times are. When you've got the king out by himself riding around looking for grass to make sure the horses and animals are fed and watered, and Obadiah, he's gone the other way. Now, the providence of God is written all over this. I want you to see what happens next, verse 7. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. Now, isn't it interesting that God worked it that Elijah met Obadiah instead of Elijah meeting Ahab? See how God's in charge, leading and guiding and directing all of this. And he knew him and fell on his face and said, Art thou that my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone with thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he will slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. There it is again. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Let's pray. Father, bless us now during this time. We want to hear from Thee. We want to understand and know Your Word and how You deliver and the ways in which You choose to deliver. There are many and they are varied. Help us, Father, to rest and trust in Thee, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to say this first of all, that God's prophets played a major role in the Old Testament kingdoms of Israel and Judah. This is very important to understand, especially when you read 1 and 2 Kings, because you have a number of prophets that are named in these books that God raised up for specific purposes. They ministered to people's everyday needs. They brought announcements of God's coming plans. They confronted kings and priests over their apostasy. They performed many miracles. Especially, they delivered messages of judgment. We find that throughout 1 Kings. Several examples from 1 Kings serve to illustrate the prophet's role. The faithful prophet Nathan rebuked David regarding his sin with Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And later, he played a crucial role in counteracting Adonijah's attempt to seize his father David's throne. That was in chapter 1, verses 5 through 49. The prophet Ahijah informed Jeroboam that God intended to divide Solomon's kingdom after his death in chapter 11. Later, God used an unnamed prophet in chapter 13. I've shared several messages on the unnamed prophet that disobeyed God, and God took his life. But yet God used that prophet to deliver a message to the king, and he stood strong. But then he went out and disobeyed. What a lesson to us all. Later, at Bethel, God demonstrated the consequences of disobeying his commands. Ahijah reappeared, announcing the Lord's judgment against Jeroboam and his heirs in chapter 14. The prophet Jehu announced judgment on King Baasha for continuing in Jeroboam's sin in chapter 16. A large portion of 1 Kings is devoted to the prophet Elijah, chapters 17 through 19, chapter 21, verses 17 through 28, who was God's primary spokesman during King Ahab's reign. While other prophets were also active during this period, we learn about them later in other chapters, chapters 20 and chapter 22. There are many that are named in this book, and we find out that there's a man that God raised up that's in the kingdom, and he's able to save 100 of their lives. I believe personally, this is my opinion, that many of the names mentioned in this 1 Kings were individuals that were saved as a result of Obadiah's ministry. Now, I don't have any proof of that, other than that when we follow throughout 1 Kings, we find several of these prophets mentioned by name, and they're alive. So we know that Jezebel didn't get them, and she was out to get them. She was out to destroy them, and yet God put a man in Ahab's kingdom who was the chief of staff. He was the governor of the palace, and God used him to shield and protect 100 of his prophets and provided the food and the water, most likely at his own personal expense, having to find it on his own and deliver it to these men that were in the caves, and doing so under the detective nose of Jezebel. Now, you want to know somebody that was in tune and knew what was going on in the kingdom? Let me tell you something. Jezebel knew more than what Ahab knew. I mean, it's proven over and over again. She had her tentacles everywhere. And here's Obadiah. And he's working under the radar, under Ahab and Jezebel, shielding and protecting. Let me just say this, that sometimes God chooses to embed men in dangerous places to providentially undertake for His people. Praise God for them. I thank the Lord tonight for Obadiah. Now, he's not the Obadiah of later in the Old Testament in the Minor Prophets, not the same individual at all. But he was a man that used his position to protect God's men, God's prophets. Perhaps some of these that are named in 1 Kings were shielded as a result of his ministry. They were protected in a cave, and daily he would come with food and water and would make sure that they were protected. And God used him. The Bible tells us that this was a very difficult time. As a matter of fact, when you go to the New Testament in the Gospels in Luke chapter 4 and verse 25, we read this about this very time period. But I tell you truly, this is Jesus speaking here, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah. Why were there many widows in the land? Because their husbands had been killed. Their husbands had been killed. It was a time of great, time of murder, of awful, terrible iniquity and injustice. And yet, we read, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. During this particular time, it was extremely dangerous to live in this land. 3.5 years without water makes people very on edge. It makes people upset, and they'll do whatever they have to do to protect themselves. If they've got water, they're going to try to protect it and keep other people away from it. All right? That's just the danger of the times. And yet, God put a man inside the palace, a believer, a man that feared God greatly, to providentially undertake and shield 100 of His prophets. Now, I think it's important for us to understand and know what it would have been like if Obadiah had not been there inside the kingdom, inside the house of Ahab. Number one, he would not have known the inner workings of Jezebel's plot to kill off the prophets. God put him there so he would know what was going on. Number two, he would not have known where the resources were to put food and drink into the mouths of the prophets. He was in the know. Aren't you thankful for people in the know? You know, we're all doing our taxes now. Well, those that owe taxes are waiting until April the 15th. But, some of us that may get a little money back, we've got our taxes done. And I want to tell you something. This year, it was a trial. It took me longer than I anticipated because of all the Obamacare rules that came in. How many of you fought through your taxes already? I'm the only one. Okay, there's a few people here. All right. Yeah, let me tell you something. It's changed everything. You've got to go through all kinds of hoops and things of that nature. They want to find out whether you have insurance or not. And if it's approved insurance, and if you don't, then they're going to slap the fees on you. And I was so thankful for TurboTax, because TurboTax was able to help me, and Google. Google and TurboTax. You can find out a lot of answers to questions and so forth. And so I was constantly going back and forth trying to find the answer to this question, because they would ask me a question. I had no idea what they were talking about, so I had to go Google it. Or TurboTax would have a little resource there where you could chat with somebody online and get some of the answers to your question. I'm thankful for somebody that was in the know, because I wasn't. God, in His mercy and grace, raised up a man that was in the know so he would have an understanding of the times. And then thirdly, if he had not been there, he would not have been the liaison between Elijah and Ahab to communicate the meeting for the great showdown that comes later in this chapter at Mount Carmel. It hit me like a ton of bricks as I was studying this. If Obadiah had not been there, Elijah would not have had a man to go to and say, I need to meet with Ahab. God made sure. By the way, Elijah does not criticize Obadiah one time. He understands and knows what Obadiah is living through, the risk that he took to protect the 100 prophets, and he understood why Obadiah was very sensitive to Elijah. He knew that God's hand was upon Elijah. What's going to happen to Elijah? When God's done with him, a chariot of fire swoops down and picks him up. Where do we get the first hint of that? From Obadiah. Obadiah says, surely as soon as I leave, the Spirit of God will swoop thee away, and they'll not find thee, and I'm going to be killed. Now, you can understand that, and Elijah understood that. Obadiah knew that Elijah was shielded by God, and he appreciated that. And so Elijah does not argue with him. He doesn't get on his case and say, oh, you weak faith individual. No, he doesn't do that. He says, I'll be here. I'll be here. And so what does Obadiah do? He goes straight back to Ahab and tells him, Elijah wants to meet with you. No fear, no worried about the consequences. He goes straight to the king and reports what he was told to do. God had Obadiah in the right place at the right time. I've had to eat crow over the years. There have been times when I've thought that certain people should be doing different things. I thought that perhaps they were out of the will of God because they had gone down this road, and then later on I found out that they were doing exactly what God wanted them to do, because I found out I benefited and this ministry benefited from individuals that were doing exactly what God wanted them to do, and I was wrong. People have said Obadiah was in the wrong place. He shouldn't have been serving the king. God put him there, and God did what? He blessed him there. God put him there. God blessed him there. It wasn't the best of places to be serving. I'll grant you that. Who would have wanted to live in the same place with Ahab and Jezebel? Especially in the fact that she was prone to go off the handle at any time. He knew what he was getting into, and yet he was there by the providence of God to deliver God's people. So I think you and I can learn a great lesson from this on how God works sometimes. He sometimes does things we don't expect. He sometimes does things that go against our sensitivities. We would not have said, I want my son to go serve in Ahab and Jezebel's court. We would have not wanted that for our children. Amen? We wouldn't have wanted that. I don't think any of us would be thrilled to death that our children were serving in the White House right now with all that's going on. But God raised up a man to do it in a worse situation. Why? Because God knows everything. And he said, I've got 100 prophets I'm going to be shielding in the future. I need to put a man up in there that's going to take care of them when the time comes. A God-fearing man. And through that, 100 prophets were shielded and taken care of. And he was able to be a liaison between the prophet Elijah and the king to communicate, you be at Carmel. God's going to do a great work. Did God do a great work on the Mount Carmel? Let me tell you something. God cleaned house with all of the prophets of Baal at Carmel. But it took an Obadiah in the palace, in God's hands, to bring all this about as far as God's plan. Let me just tell you this. You be faithful where God's put you. It may not be the most pleasant place. You be faithful, and God will take care of you. This is one of the great lessons of the Old Testament. And so I pray that we can take that to heart as we understand God's great deliverances at Mount Carmel, understand the path that led to that. We're going to get into the Mount Carmel situation, Lord willing, in the future. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight for Obadiah. What a godly man who feared thee. He didn't understand at the time all that he was chosen to do, but he was faithful at what he did, and he took care of your prophets when they needed it. Shielded them, fed them, watered them, made sure that their needs were taken care of in a very difficult time under increasingly stressful situations. He was faithful. Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, we have a tendency to cut and run when the going gets tough. We don't like pressure. We don't like any stress. We don't like difficulties to come our way. We just want to have it easy and not have too many claims on us, so we can just enjoy this world and do what we want to do. Lord, deliver us from that hellish thought. Help us to be like Obadiah. You put him in a tough spot. You put him in a dangerous spot. And he performed according to your word and will. And he became an instrument in thy hands to establish what would be the end of Baal worship, the end of the Baal prophets, and the establishment of God's power and the turning of a nation at that particular time because of a man who was willing to serve in a tight spot. I pray, Father, that you would deliver us from our cowardly ways and that you'd help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.